Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG pod overflow, the Cinephobe cold opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
Said the OG pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're going to get Amin in those, so you got to listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Haliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP. That's 1-800-639-8783. Or text NEXT STEP to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Welcome to another fun-filled edition of Black Opinions Matter, motherfucker. My name is Amin El Hassan. I'm joined, as always, by Black Trey and Big Jerv. Hell of a show ready for you guys today. We've got, as always, reviews for the TV shows we watched, Snowfall and Power. Power just had its season finale, and it was powerful as ever. So stay tuned for that one. We got some questions about Easter. Different Easter. I got a lot of Easter questions. You know, I don't celebrate Easter, so I got questions for the guys about, like, what the deal is with Easter. Obviously, I know what it's about, but I got questions. And we're going to talk about my man Mano, who was dragged on the internet for revealing his fetish, his kink, his thing that he likes to do in the bedroom with the who-eyed who women. But before we get into that, www.patreon.com/countthedings. You go there, you sign up, you get access to all types of exclusive type shit, like the overflow episodes that we do every Tuesday. It'll be reviewing Winning Time and Atlanta, like the watch-alongs. We got watch-alongs for playoff games. We got watch-alongs for the movies. We just did one where we watched the Nicolas Cage movie Next on, it was me and Anthony Mays and Zach Harper did that last Thursday. You got access to the Discord. You got so much more. Don't miss out. If you're not a Patreon, patreon.com/countthedings. Sign up for that. If you are a Patreon, thank you. And tell your friends to stop mooching. Tell them to get on board. All right. So let's get into the show. And we start with Mano. Mano revealed on a podcast that when he has sex with who-eyed women, he likes to role play as a runaway slave. I laughed. I don't know about y'all. I laughed my ass off, but not as much as how I laughed at our guy Waz, who just fucking, he loves to, he's an agent of chaos. So Van Lathan was the one that posted this on his, the clip on his IG. And here comes Waz with the response, stop kink shaming our brother. And got 64 replies off of that. People lost their mind. People calling him, why you worried about another man's kinks? Then the camera emoji. One guy said, you just snitched on yourself to Waz. You got, who else? This is disgusting. A runaway slave and she's his master? Nah, that's not even a kink. Another person, self-hatred. It's funny, man, because these people really think they're doing something when they come to Waz. But, yo, what? I guess let's start with, what are y'all thoughts on Mano?
He need therapy. He need therapy, man. I don't know. Again, at the end of the day, shouts to Mano. I don't really want to know about his personal life. I've only tapped in through the music, High Hater, and you know, the Hand of God and things that he's went viral for. Yeah. You know, but from another scenario of explaining that on a podcast is crazy. And then 2022, you automatically know that's going viral off rip. Like they're gonna pull that. You know what I mean? Like it's even kind of similar to like Jim Jones saying his mom taught him how to tongue kiss, and he was like, "Man, you know what I mean?" And it's like, y'all don't really be thinking before y'all say it. And I'm pretty sure we're gonna find out like in a week or two that he was joking, or if he wasn't joking, it's just TMI, right? But again, I think it's hilarious, and I thought it was funny because that was the first thing I seen from Waz, and obviously Waz is just—he's just a troll. He's gonna add fuel to the fire. So I was just like, just how to the role play, because there is a community about that. But then also, why should we care?
Exactly. That's my thing. By the way, says the man with only white women on his page. This is the dude saying this to Waz. He fucking. People are weird.
That's man. The real reason why Waz is not on Bomb anymore.
Yeah. Because he's out here living his best slave fantasies.
I mean, we can agree that's a wild. I mean, we're not kink shaming, but that's a wild role play aspect, right?
Like I want somebody to recreate it on TikTok.
Yeah.
Cause I feel like TikTok's the only place I've watched to, like, porn. Have fun with stuff like that.
I watched a porno that was like a parody of Roots before.
Wait, how did you even lock in? Walk us through the lock in, because that sounds intense.
The search. We need the search keywords.
So the search keyword, man, like, you know, I'd be just going, first of all, like, my shit is always amateur. I like amateur, man. That's just my thing. Like, homemade. I like to feel like this shit is real or not. But you know how, like, you'll have one thing open and it'll, underneath it'll have, like, the suggested videos on Pornhub. Like, oh, what about this one? Which I guess they do that on YouTube too, but, like, this is all Pornhub. And one of them was, like, Roots. And it was, like, an hour and 20 minutes long. And I was like, well, fuck, now I got to look and see what this is about. And it literally just niggas just fucking white girls in barns. Like, it'd be like 3 seconds of dialogue and then like just throw on a roll, a stack of hay and smash her out or whatever.
Sick overthrow.
Yeah. And, yeah. Just right up. There's also a couple of lesbian scenes in there where it's like, you know, it was kind of funny, man. I laughed. I laughed because, like, obviously when they fucking, it's just porn. But like when they talk, the nigga's like, yes, mammy, wait. Like, talking like,
hey, porn can be comedy too.
Dog, I'd be laughing, man. I'd be laughing. It's funny. It's funny, man. I don't know. I don't take it too seriously, right? It's like, what are they afraid of? Are they afraid that white women are going to go around thinking they're actually masters and shit? I mean, I kind of feel like if they feel that way, they felt it long before they had sex with a black guy. Right, this, like, that's not the gateway for them, you know. Like, the gateway for them is living in America as a white woman. So like, I don't understand if that's what that dude is into, man. Let him do him, man. Like, is it for me? No, but why do I care what gets that nigga hard or not? Like, that's kind of weird.
I mean, that's kind of similar to, and I'm glad you segued to that, right? And this is not on a rundown, but Isaiah Rashad revealed his Coachella set, right? And the intro is nothing but clips of the people discussing him, right? And at the end, it's like, how will he respond? And then he kills his set. But it's kind of circling full circle of what we mean. Like, why do we care what people do?
Wait, what's the Isaiah Rashad, like, original
story?
I don't know.
Someone leaked stories of him giving fellatio to a man, and then him also receiving fellatio from two men.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, he's a rapper. So, like, in the rap community, it's not really
to
just
be gay,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And in the 90s, yeah, it's like, oh, they're turning in their graves. And they would, you know, so it's like, he's making a big deal about it. It was all
it was a man like, in the 90s who the gay rapper was. Like, who was the gay rapper? Now,
Wendy Williams, 2022, we have him.
Wendy Williams would allude to that shit all the fucking time. If whoever it was, it was so many. Your favorite rappers have all had a Wendy Williams story for the most part.
Yeah, man.
So in 2022, if the music is good, no one cares. Like, I don't care if you do whatever you do in your private life. All I care about is the music good. So good for him. He feels comfortable. He can live his life now. I mean, it probably was the best thing to happen. He's charting like crazy now. He's you know, doing what he's supposed to do. But he always was fire to me.
So I will admit that a ways back, Trey, I believe you and Mari told me I need to check out Isaiah Rashad or whatever the case may be. Listen to him. I was just like, you know what I mean? Nah, not for me. You know, whatever. I didn't think it was trash or anything. But my question more so for you, I guess, Trey, you said his ratings and things went up. Was he masking it in his music from what he was talking about? Like, was he alluding?
No.
Or, okay.
No. I mean, his raps are kind of like battling like depression sometimes. Sometimes it was turn up stuff. You know what I mean? And TDE, it's like kind of, they got a weird, they're like Dreamville kind of, but like, you know what I mean? Like, they have different sort of players.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where you like, they all don't stand in one line. Like, No Limit, it was like, I'm a soldier. You know what I mean? I'm a soldier. Or I do this and that. They're scattered. They got artists all over the place. So him, it was like a mix of like Scarface influence, Master P influence, some Kendrick influence. And then you're kind of like, oh, does he sound like Kendrick? Does he have this? Is he lyrical? And he's not really trying to be like a superstar. He caters to his fans of that group. So like, if you like it, it is what it is. It's kind of like Boss. Like, right, Boss could be bigger than what he is, but he also has a tribe of fans.
Loyal.
That'd be
you
like
got a loyal following. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Where you like, you listen to Boz, it's like, it don't matter if I make or break. Say my opinion won't change his audience. They're going to pull up regardless. The loyal fans, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So that's how it is.
And that's kind of like that's the blueprint now for a lot of these artists and a lot of these labels. It's just like, we're not, you know, we don't have to have that one club banger that everybody's listening to or that one radio hit. It's like, can I have a loyal, motivated fan base that's going to support me in every way, going to listen to my music, going to buy concert tickets, going to buy merch, basically consume my art wherever they can. And the reality is, if you do, if you are that kind of artist, you don't really have to worry. And if anything, like you kind of said it, Trey, if anything, this kind of helps, right? It like makes your people double down because they're already in on the experience or whatever. I'm thinking about like who are the artists that have come out the closet recently? It's him. It's Lil Nas X, Frank Ocean. Who else? Am I missing anybody?
Tyler, the Creator. Tyler, he hasn't Creator. He hasn't formally said it, but you know, I say he's bi, if anything.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think if anything, if you look at all those guys other than Lil Nas X, they're all kind of like niche music people. Like I got my fan base that I cater to, that rock with me or whatever. And I think for all of them, it helps them with their fan base. And in the case of Lil Nas X, like obviously he had one of the biggest singles of all time and came out right after that. Like it's hard to argue that this nigga didn't help his career, right? In a way that, like y'all said, like even 10 years ago, I don't know if that could take place.
Yeah, no, I don't think it was a space for it. And I think it's more of the society and how people are socially acceptable and things. You know what I mean? Again, if anything, it's more freedom, you know what I mean, to do whatever you want. And I think probably they're the most authentic artists because their personal life have been thrown front page. You know what I mean? Like you can't be like, oh, he not a real nigga. Like he doing whatever he doing. Like he ain't lying to you. So at this point, you locked in. When you listen to Rick Ross, you're like, man, he's selling a fantasy, or he doing this and that, or blah blah blah. And you're so hard fighting versus just listening to the music and trying to see if he really does this or he really so dope and shit. And it's like, half these rappers lie. Yeah. Or what are we really here for?
These niggas tell the truth over here. They really sucking dick. It's a joke. It's shout a out, joke. He sucked shout a to dick them. So what? So what? He wanted to suck a dick. Who am I to get in his way?
Hey, you know you know the funniest thing though about I watched Rothaniel.
Oh right? Yeah. Uh-huh.
And he said I see
Jerv's face. Hold on. That's the Gerard Carmichael stand up.
Oh, all right. Thank you.
He knows. He was so thrown off. That's black people though. They don't aim on titles. They just know who's associated with it. But the funniest thing about it, he was like, black people don't be tripping off people becoming gay. They trip off who their significant other is. Like, oh, it's cool, you gay. Wait, you with a white man? Yeah. So it's like, bro, anybody but that, like, you know what I mean? So it's just hilarious, you know what I mean, that he put it in a humorous way. But it's kind of, you know, nobody's tripping as long as the content's good.
Yeah, that's, I mean, I think that's the big thing. And you know what, like part of it, society has obviously become a lot more tolerant in that way. And also part of it is, to be honest with you, I wonder, like, was the system, the industry, were they like scared, like, oh, we can't let this nigga be gay because that'll be bad for business, without like even giving it a chance, right? Because again, like you think about it, it's like, you know, I think of for instance, Gerard Carmichael, and I know he's only done the one stand-up now, Out the Closet, but to me that wasn't like gay stand-up. It was stand-up, and by the way, that nigga's gay.
Right? Yeah, nah, he actually was funny. It felt like a long-ass therapy session.
It did, but, man. Especially like interact. How'd you feel about him interacting with the audience like that?
I liked it. It was more personable. I've never kind of had a, you know, like watched a comedy, you know, sat in a set. Because I have comedian friends. You have comedian friends. I'm sure Jerv does too. And it's different. I think everybody, this is probably going to be a transitional viewpoint on how people are storytelling or adding their humor, because we've had a lot thinking, you know, people throwing on hot takes, comedy's dead or this and that, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, or yada, yada, yada. And I think that he had a brilliant approach about it because he answered all the questions, but he found a way to be funny, like about his dad telling somebody it was Jerry Rice. Like, nigga, that was hilarious.
No, that was such a funny story, man. It's like, my dad's met him before many a time. You know, and that's the name you came up with, Jerry Rice. No, not that Jerry Rice. Same name. Yeah, get it off it. I thought that was the thing that I appreciate the most of his shit, is like he was talking about serious personal shit, but he never let it get too fucking heavy. Every time it started to get too heavy, he came with a joke and made it funny. And you know, I appreciate that. I was like, you know what? That's what's up, man. That he didn't like let it, because sometimes comedians, like Chris Rock's last one on Netflix, where he's just bitching about his life, and I'm like, bro, I'm not here, I'm not your therapist, I don't care, I want you to make me laugh, you better find some humor in this shit. And so I really appreciated that he was able to do that, for sure. Shout out to Gerard Carmichael. The stand-up is called Rothaniel, and it's his actual name. Gerard is his middle name.
So his grandpa mixed, his dad used both names and combined them.
I just heard it as it's Gerard, right? Gerard Carmichael special. Like this personal title stuff. You know, that's a little over my head.
Can't tell these niggas nothing, man. I'll tell you what.
It don't even matter. Don't even matter, man.
That's funny. It's Easter. We're recording this on Easter Sunday. And so, Trey, you got a bunch of questions here. But before we get started with these questions, we're going to get to each one of them. I have a question. And is Easter, when if you don't have kids in the house, like if everybody's grown, is Easter even a thing?
Yeah, I mean, in religious backgrounds, I think people still go to church. I think that's the one time that black people, out of all the years,
got to church on Easter, bro.
Like, they put on a suit, you know what I mean? Because you never know who's going to be there, your grandma, right, your aunt. And you have this meal. The church service is probably going to be long, so prepare for it. You know, and you have all these different things. And yeah, that's one thing. And then when you really think about it, right, when you go into the whole Easter thing, when you do have kids, I mean, obviously, just like American, you know,
yeah,
the consumer
eggs
stuff.
And the Easter, like,
first of all, Easter bunnies don't lay eggs, but we never question that. It's fun for the kids. You got the Easter egg hunt where you're hiding different shit in there. And, you know, if you don't do it, you're probably people going to look at you like you're a fun police or a bad parent or et cetera. But, or you might have religious situations where you don't celebrate it at all. Then you got the super religious folks like me. I don't say super religious.
Man, this nigga said like me. Get the
fuck because I don't say happy Easter. I say happy resurrection day.
Happy resurrection Sunday.
That doesn't make you.
No, no. Religious. But I'm just saying like people really be like, you know how people be like Merry Xmas and they really get hot. Like, bro, you'd be like, bro, hold on. Why you Xing out the Christ? You feel me? So,
hold up, Trey.
We be gangbanging for Jesus.
I'm not going to let him do that to you. I will say, Trayvon is probably one of the more religious friends that I have that I can tell. Now, I don't know what he does behind closed doors.
That's because you kicking it with heathens, man. That's why.
I mean, it could be that. That could be that also.
Listen, and that's the thing. I don't even want to say. Let me take that back because in a term, I'm not a Jesus freak.
You're right? Spiritual. I'm spiritual.
Right?
You ain't super religious. Super religious at the moment.
Okay.
Like, you know what super religious
is. You do way too much to be super religious, actually.
You're right.
He sold you out in 2 seconds. Yes.
Judas. Judas ass nigga. Nah, happy Resurrection Day, which is still a crazy theory because it's like, all right, every year we move a different day. Like, it's not consistent. It's not like, every 3 days, you know, after he rose. So, like, every other year is going to be a different day. It's going to be a different, you know, Easter on this Sunday now. So, it's questionable, but, at the end of the day, I look at it, and it's the same thing as how, going back to Rothaniel, being a Christian and kind of editing how you worship.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because there's a lot of contradiction in that stuff. You know what I mean? Like, you know, oh, you're, you know, because I, as a kid, I was scared. I used to be like, damn, I'm going to hell. I had a bad thought. You know what I mean? Like every day I'm like, you know, because I went to, too much. You know, we was going to chapel every day. We do had to read the Old Testament and the New Testament and recite it and then do all this other stuff. And like, it wasn't until like I took a class in my senior year of college. One, I think this coach was, I mean, not the coach, the professor was really messing with me. I went to I played basketball at a Lutheran college, and right. He was like, what, you know, you often challenge me in my thesis. So I was like, I'm a Christian. So like my viewpoint is different. So he was like, right. For you to pass this class, you got to write a 23-page paper comparing your religion to all religions. So I had to
move. That's what you get for challenging, nigga. Shut up and let this class happen. Let's shut up and let this class happen.
And I could have easily rolled out with a C. That was my fault, right? So I went old school way, library, renting out books, literally. Learned about Confucius, learned about Buddhism, learned about, you know, all these different religions and compared it. And I found out they all the same with different gods.
Yeah,
and it blew my mind because I was like, in like, you know what I mean, because I used to be like, oh, you're an atheist, I can't rock with you, bro. I remember during that time when YouTube was popping, right, and the conspiracy right. theorists of Jay-Z being a devil worshiper,
oh yeah,
and Tyler
yeah.
the Creator being a devil I stopped listening to Hov. I deleted everything.
No, everything. Trey, come on God.
no you didn't.
On God, I deleted everything.
That's why that right there is why you're not the most religious person I know, because religious God. Niggas don't say on God.
Hey, it ain't gonna change on God. But listen, I deleted all of it. I was locked in. I was so scared. And after I wrote that paper, I kind of had to thank Professor Smith. Shout out to Steve Smith out there. But it opened my mind to a lot of things. I can have those friends that don't believe in God. I can have those friends that are Muslim. I can have those friends that are, you know, because I, you know, like Christianity kind of, you know, the same thing. If you go Jehovah Witness, they have a certain belief. Everybody has a different belief and they feel like there's some exclusivity when there's like, we all got the same thing. We just changed the name of God. You know what I mean? Like, whoever your high power is, shout outs to y'all. That's it.
Yo, so, shit reminded me of, what's that whole song? Freemason?
I've been sitting here trying to think of the bar the whole time.
Niggas could do nothing with me. They put the devil on me. I would have preferred the niggas with a squeeze of metal on me. Rupert's a Lucifer. I don't know who to trust. Whole world want my demise. Turn my music up. He's rapping at Trey right there.
Hey, you know what's crazy? I love 444 J Electronica Hov now. Super religious. Just my boy locked in now. I told my wife that the spiritual shit works.
Fuck all these fairy tales. Go to hell. This is God engineering. This is a Hail Mary pass. Y'all interfering. He without sin should cast the first stone. So check in the mirror. Double check your appearance. Bitch, I said I was amazing. Not that I'm a Mason. Oh, shit. I miss Hov, man.
I was waiting for that part. I was waiting for that part.
That nigga used to be so good, man.
Then, bro, then my nigga, off his then my last drive, four and had him running in the woods.
Damn, he said, holy water, my face is the basin. Diamonds in my rosary shows he forgave him. Bitch, I'm red hot. I'm on my third six, but the devil, I'm not. My Jesus peace flooded out, but thou shalt not covet. Keep your eyes off my cupboard. I'm a bad motherfucker. It's Hov. Just say you love it. Oh, I love it, Hov. I love it.
That's one of my favorite songs.
Oh, my God. He fucking destroyed that shit. I miss him. All right. Okay. Do you text people happy Easter?
No. But I try to avoid it.
Do you do happy Resurrection Day? Let me just clarify.
No. So I'll do it on social media and say this is a mass text. To avoid, like, don't text me. I do that for Christmas and Thanksgiving and all, because I don't want to do it. It's like here.
There's a handful of people to get a happy Resurrection Sunday.
I feel like your parents are like, they get the mandatory joint. Like if your mom right there.
Wait, like, okay, Jerv, what Jerv? Who's your
so during Ramadan, do you text people? You know.
No, I text back. That's my philosophy. I won't text, but I'll text back. But also,
that's a huge step for a mean.
That's a huge step for a mean.
Just let everyone know.
You could have let that shit sit.
Yeah, I could do, and but like it's kind of like these are the 30 days where I try to be on my best behavior. Porn conversation at the beginning, notwithstanding. So like I will text people back. I will kind of be more of the moment within being kind of observant of the religion. But yeah, that's about it.
So if I'm hearing you correctly, what you're telling me is all those Sixers text messages that I've sent you throughout the years that get left on red that you never respond. If I send those to you during Ramadan, there's a chance you'll respond.
Okay. I mean, if you make them Ramadan related, there's a chance I'll respond.
Got you. Brother, all right. Hey, listen, I need clarification.
Brother Kareem.
Yeah, man. I'm not just fucking. This doesn't mean the text lines are open. Also, I'm not your therapist, Jerv. Throw it in the group chat, man. Let multiple niggas get a crack at it. I don't like that. I don't like if I'm in a group chat with someone where we talk about a certain topic, and then I get like the private, direct. This goes out to Elite, my guy Elite, the producer, who's in the Sportsville group chat with us. This goes out to
Elite.
This goes out to my nigga Mark Labassier, also in that group chat. The niggas love sending me like the one-on-one, like private text, like, "Hey, so what do you think gonna happen with this?" I'm like, man, if you don't throw that shit in the group chat, stop bothering me.
Yeah, I gotta read the room sometimes.
When I see like a text from Jerv, like I would think, oh shit, like is something happening? Or like this is this something about like this, am I gonna be on Mark's show? So I feel like it's like something serious that had nothing to do with everybody else. I open up like, hey man, what do you think the Sixers gonna get for Ben Simmons? Like, nigga, I don't know, man.
It's crazy how we like sass Jerv for like reaching out personally. Yeah, but he's really our friend. Like, hey, Snicky, my bad for hitting you. But
I don't like
every
it.
Every time he'd be like, hey, my bad, y'all. But
I'm trying to be respectful, you know what I mean?
Nah, bro, you can hit me up, bro. I like, you know, one thing that I learned.
You'll at least respond. Really, Amin leaves me on red. Why listen, sometimes will leave me on red?
Amin not gonna shut it down. His Hollywoodness, he know. Amin taught me how to fake ignore calls. Like, he's taught What's me that? The game. No, just talking about just like, you know, he's too busy. Like, I mean, just more so you don't answer it every time because I was making myself overly accessible. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you got to not answer so that they get used to the idea that sometimes that nigga don't answer.
Bruh, I think Sixers questions, I think legit I'm one for like maybe 73 questions, and this dates all the way back to after. I could have just done like the fucking show with him, and I'll text him, and he just won't respond to me.
I don't work after hours, man. Y'all trying to make me do extra work.
Yeah. You had a chance, Jerv. You got to ask him on the show, man. You know how
is it necessary to text Happy Easter? I mean, you guys don't, is it necessary? Can you
absolutely
like
go not? Through? I just seen women on my timeline saying, "Please don't, please don't, fellas." You know, just scaring the women.
God, yeah, they need an end. They need an end that says, "I'm not like I am like I'm a man of God." And so Happy Easter is like an easy one, right?
Hello, listener. I'm sure you don't need me to tell you that we at Cinephobe love our pets. Zach and Boogie are inseparable. I've got two cats and a dog, and Amin is giving his best ass on performance to convince dog owners that he loves their pet.
Hey, little, hey, boy, how you doing? And Noodle's just like, whatever.
Which is why today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program. For many pet parents, summer is all about making travel plans like adventuring through the national parks, visiting pet-friendly beaches, or road tripping across the country. Wherever your journeys take you and your furry friend, you can help protect them along the way with a plan from ASPCA Pet Health Insurance. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customizable accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they may need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are. Because vet bills can really add up, especially when you're least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/dings. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/dings. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer and is not engaged in the business of insurance. Hello, listener. Guess who's back? It's me, Anthony Mays, your favorite butcher-turned-podcast producer, and I'm here to talk to you about ButcherBox. ButcherBox is the most convenient way to get high-quality meat and seafood that you can trust delivered straight to your doorstep. Free shipping, vacuum sealed packaging. It's ready to go right then. It's ready to pop in the freezer. You get exclusive member deals and a variety of high quality cuts at an amazing value. Going to the grocery store can be a huge pain. You're usually in a rush at an inconvenient time. You're waiting in line at the meat counter. You're taking a number. Maybe this place doesn't have a number. You're jostling with fellow customers. You're trying to get that ribeye that you want or that nice piece of salmon. Maybe the butcher that you're dealing with has a bad attitude or something. I don't know. That was never me, I promise. But maybe it happens. ButcherBox takes all of that out of the picture. You are always prepared with meat and seafood in the freezer, and you're not going to find quality for this price anywhere else other than ButcherBox. So sign up at butcherbox.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S, and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. You can choose salmon, chicken breasts, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/dings and use code DINGS, D-I-N-G-S, to choose your free for a year offer plus get $20 off your first order.
Yeah, and it gives you ability to tell them, look at your gram real quick, because you probably threw that suit on and you want them to, you know what I mean?
This is a future meme where it said, I was just thinking how I had all my eggs in one basket.
Yep.
Happy Easter.
You know, it's somewhere out there. Someone probably did it.
Somebody go do it today.
Next question. What's the worst Easter candy? All that shit looks gross to me, I'll be honest.
Peeps.
Peeps.
Yeah. Easy. Peeps.
I've seen people put Peeps on a pizza. A pizza.
You should have like beat their ass.
And the topping was, well, it's on Instagram, but like, I'm just like, this, yo, who out here is out here for this?
There's
disgusting...
no way that tastes good. There's no way.
Why?
No
way. Why does black jelly beans taste so nasty?
Because they're fucking disgusting. They're racist, fucking licorice.
They're racist. Why did they make the black jelly bean taste like that?
Yeah. They could have made any one of them taste terrible, but they made the black one taste like that.
Like, come on. We need Dr. Umar on here to explain.
When a black one tastes like chocolate? How about that? You know? I'm gonna throw that out there. Dr. Umar, for real. What other Easter candy is there? There's a chocolate-covered egg. But it's not really an egg. It's just like a...
That shit false, too. False.
You talking about the hollow joint that has the fucking fake yolk in the middle?
Yes.
Yeah, those things are disgusting. Terrible. Yeah, that's a trash can. Easter... Hot take, Easter is literally the trashiest time of the year for candy.
Because we get sour jelly beans. We get sour jelly beans. I'm with
you. All right, you get one. That's one candy, bro. You still playing 1-on-5.
Oh, right. also white chocolate Reese's.
That's an all year thing, though.
Is that an Easter? Yeah, that's not an Easter.
It used to be Easter. Yo, it used to be Easter thing. Yeah, but it got popular.
Yeah. they were like, this is too good for Easter.
We got the niggas in a frenzy. Let's
I'm not gonna lie. Them. The white chocolate fucking Reese's back in the day, bro, I would lose my mind when I saw them.
So funny story. I don't know if my uncle would have listened to the show, but I had a college teammate that stayed with me. He was from New York, he's from the Bronx. Shout out to my nigga. He used to smoke. And one time we stayed at my uncle's house. We crashed over there. And my uncle was saving that Reese's.
Oh, no.
And it'd been in the freezer for like 2 years, bro.
Oh, no.
Oh, you ate it?
Because it was a limited edition. Not me. So. Him,
the nigga is
my teammate ate it. He got high, Woke up, opened the freezer, and ate it, and my uncle kicked us out.
Bruh. Hell yeah, I'd have kicked you out.
Look at this out. Hey, he kicked us out. And I was like, street. You could. He said no, but the crazy thing about it, he left $2.50 on the table.
Like, that this should said, cover that.
Hey, I said, you need to stop smoking, first of all. And how does a 2-year-old Reese's
Why does he have to stop smoking?
Stupid decisions, bro. The munchie decisions. He did not beat the munchie allegations.
Let's not just go all rash and rash right now, right? Like, I mean, like, you know, hey, listen, he was high.
Can I boss it over?
Yeah, I got you.
That's not the bossa nova that I thought we were gonna get.
No. Most people say that weed ain't addictive.
Weed is definitely addictive.
Bro, it's sent him down a whole different path.
And Reggie is addictive.
And we're black. Jerv, I want to ask you a question, something you said in the bossa nova, which is that Reggie is addictive, but the high-end shit isn't. Why is that?
I mean, I can just speak off my experience, right? Like, there was a point where when I was smoking Reggie all crazy in college, where I was making like ridiculous decisions financially just to make sure that I still was able to buy my weed and shit like that. I don't depend. Like, I can just tell there's a difference when I smoke now, or even just the latter, or like the last 10, 15, 20 years when I no longer was smoking Reggie and I was able to afford like the medical type shit that's floating out there or whatever. I just feel like it's come such a long way that now people were telling you that weed's purpose was back in the day. I feel like they've figured it out now where it is. It can really serve those purposes for you. And it's not for me. I can only speak off myself. I can go weeks, months. Well, not months. That's wild. But I can go a week or two without smoking. Like, you just wouldn't want to see me like a month or two without smoking. I just would be super ignorant to people. But like, I can go a week without smoking. But like in college, I couldn't have done that. Not at all. Like, I needed to smoke multiple times a day. And that I like needed to. Otherwise, it would have been like ugly.
Dog, man, that's kind of wild, man. I never thought that would be the case. Moving on, Trey, you asked the question, why was the Facebook poke a thing and what is the 2022 version? Oh, this one's easy, man. Y'all don't even know.
Tell me, why was it a
Facebook thing? Because you're trying to holler at a girl, but you have no
opening line.
It was
a dating show, right? Yeah, but wasn't it like virtual harassment?
I mean, got to the point
where you've been poked. I would see that.
Yeah. So and so poked you. Yeah. And then, but then the other part of it is, so you say what the 2022 version is, isn't it obvious? Again, this is the reply to your Instagram story with the hard eyes, right? That's what every thirsty ass nigga.
I was gonna say multiple likes.
Yep.
I was gonna say multiple likes.
Nah,
multiple
bro.
Likes on the multiple. Same day, you mean, right? You mean like when you go through...
Yes, where you open up your page and it's like...
That's a lot rarer than the pokes. The pokes were coming all the while, you know?
The multiple likes thing, that's like beginning of Instagram days.
Has it ever worked?
No.
Yes. Yes.
Yes, it's multiple
tell
likes?
Us more.
It's worked. I mean... It's worth. I mean, I'd have the bossa nova, but I can tell you more if you really want to know.
Bossa nova me, please.
Okay. I think off of just liking like 5-6 pictures, I can tell you that. I had about a good run of a summer or two where liking like 5 or 6 pictures or 10 pictures or whatever the number was.
Guys, we've talked about this before. HelloFresh. Our friends at HelloFresh are the best. It makes home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. That's why HelloFresh is America's number one meal kit. Look, here's the deal. It's all about the convenience. Not only did the fresh ingredients, might I add, come pre-portioned so you're not overbuying or wasting food, but it's easier than ever to get filling meals on the table in a snap with options like family-friendly and quick and easy recipes. HelloFresh's chefs really know how to diversify the menu with seasonal recipes like salmon limone and pasta primavera, and you can pick your favorites. from 50 different weekly options. Skip weeks when you need to, change your delivery day, update your preferences. You can do all of that in the HelloFresh app. As I said, I've done it before, bought it for my family. See, did the pasta primavera not too long ago. We've also done, oh, this is one I really love, the Old Bay buttered up chicken. It is fire. It is flames, best of all. It is fresh right in your own kitchen. You made it. You've got the ingredients fresh, and it can be a lot cheaper than going out to eat, absolutely, and also cheaper than buying groceries. So definitely make sure you get up on this HelloFresh train. Go to HelloFresh.com/BOM16 and use code BOM16 for up to 16 free meals and 3 free gifts. Again, HelloFresh.com/BOM16. Use code BOM16 for up to 16 free meals and 3 free gifts. HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit. So here's the deal. Usually when I do these ad reads, I've never really tried the product until they became sponsors, and then they give us samples and I try them and then I endorse them. I'm not trying to make it seem like it's fake. It's real. I've tried them and I like them, but it's not like I've ever used these things before they became sponsors. Today's a little different. Credit Karma. I'm telling you right now, I've used Credit Karma to fix my credit, to figure out what the problematic things are on my credit report was, to pay those things off, to get a loan in order to pay off some of those things, to apply for credit cards, to get credit cards I'll qualify for, to take care of them the right way, and then to make sure I level up. Credit Karma uses your credit data to find loan offers that are personalized to you so you can have a better idea of what loan amount you can get approved for. Credit Karma will even show your chances of approval so you can choose between loan offers that you're more likely to get approved for and apply with more confidence. I've done this, ladies and gentlemen, and it absolutely works. Comparing loan offers on Credit Karma is 100% free, and best of all, it won't affect your credit scores and can save you money. Credit Karma, apply with more confidence today. I am talking to you as someone who has fixed his credit using Credit Karma before they ever paid me to do this stuff right now. That's right. Ready to apply? Head to creditkarma.com/loan offers to see personalized offers. Go to creditkarma.com/loan offers to find the loan for you. That's creditkarma.com/loan offers. And we're black. Okay. All right. What'd you say, Trey?
You know what's funny? I've never liked a pic on Instagram.
You've never liked a pic?
No.
Like, you've never liked the pic, or you've never liked the post?
I've never liked the post anything. I only comment. I only comment.
As you say this, I'm realizing that he only comments on pictures. Like, you'll comment on pictures, but you've never, like, if I post a picture of Haven, you will comment with the nicest comment. But yeah, your ass really doesn't like the picture. I just always assumed you were liking the picture.
No. I never like it. I feel like the comment is more real than just me casually liking it. Because when I first got on Instagram back in like 2013, 2014, during the deep fried picture phase, I was just like, you know what I mean? And I was like, it felt empty. So when I finally got back on, and this is when I, you know, when I met Amin and we started doing the ESPN True Hoop, and they was like, you got to be on social media. I had to talk with Ben, and they made me get Instagram kind of. And because I don't, you know, I don't post pictures of myself like that. You know what I mean? Like, I don't find the I like the privacy part of it. So to have Instagram, it'd be normally to fuck with y'all. I'd be in y'all's Instagram stories talking shit all the time. And
thanks.
I got on there and I'm like, okay. I'm scrolling. Somebody posted their plant. Someone posts their kid. Someone posts like their business. And I'm like, I don't really like this shit. Like, I mean, it's cool, but like, I'd rather, like, when I told him the other day, I said, yo, he took his daughter to the Phillies game. I said, yo, you really the best dad. You rather hear that than me just like.
I will say, bro, that hit right here.
It was honest. It was honest, though. Like, I feel like.
Nigga almost cut an onion in the house.
But it was real, though. Like, I mean, like, seeing a black father, first of all, you know what I mean? You had a daddy-daughter day, which is not just a day. It's a thing because she's with you all the time. And you took her to the. you even though you're creating bad traditions, it's okay. She's going to be a Phillies fan, and I feel sorry for her in the future. But long story short, it was fire. It was a fire, genuine situation, because we all know anybody that follows you or know you love your daughter. So I thought, like, bro, you really one of the best dads, bro. Not saying that Amin is not one of the best dads, because Amin lives a private life, but he, I do believe that my friend Amin is a great dad as well.
There you go. Now I feel fine. I was sad for a little man. Jerk put us to shame, man. Stop doing that shit, man.
that nigga ain't never told me I was the best dad.
Oh, man. Speaking of dads, Trey sent me a picture of his dad the other day. And his dad does look like Uncle Jerome from Snowfall, man. That shit is crazy. And then he sent a picture.
I honestly think that they was servicing the internet and was like, him. That's who we're going to cast. We're going to put him in a Jerry curl with a goatee, and we're just going to do it right there. And I think that Jerome. And the funny thing about it, Amin tells me that, so I text my mom with the picture of Jerome. Like, does he look like my dad?
Does he look like that?
She's like, yeah, kind of. And then Waz is like, why would you do that? I thought it was funny.
He's a funny ass follow on IG too, by the way.
Is he?
Yeah, I don't know
if I want to get that personal. I like to keep it where it is, because Instagram is a one-to-one app.
Yeah, I only followed him because I went to college with his wife or whatever, right? So like it was just
for real?
Yeah. She's a year younger than me or whatever. But he does a lot of fucking like taking the old like you know how they do like the old pictures now on IG.
And his name Amin too, right?
Yeah. You know how you can do like the old pictures on IG and you can make it seem like you were there, put like a face on somebody. He does all those, but he does them in Unk's voice. Like he did like Eric Dickerson. Like he was at the Tyson fight back in the day with Don King. Like it's actually pretty funny.
Yeah, let me check this nigga out. Hold on, man.
I'm sure it's hilarious because, again, the fact that he's from Harlem blew me. Like I was just like, all right, cool.
Oh,
like,
wow. For real?
Yeah. I didn't know that. Yeah, okay,
he's a New York dude. So I remember we were doing Growing Up the Same, and Jerv was like, "Oh, I know, bro. Like, if you're trying to get him, but remember, he wasn't doing any press at a particular time. So it was like it was crazy. But I also wanted to just tell him, like, show him a picture of my dad, like, bro, you really look like this nigga, man. Like, I imagine. So I put a post up saying, you know, this is what my dad would be like most likely in 2022.
Yeah, this is kind of funny. This thing is kind of funny, man.
They squabbling.
They squabbling up in there.
Jerome Saint with the peace treaty.
Yeah, Unc was there too.
Unc was there in 85 working. We are the world. Nephew, we are the children. Yeah, all right. I think he's got to follow. Yeah, he's got to follow. I'm going to follow him now. That's kind of funny, man. But speaking of Snowfall, man, we find out that, surprise, surprise, dude ain't dead. Kane ain't dead.
You know what's crazy? The thing about that storyline of Kane being paralyzed, that was a thing. Like, so many gangsters just started showing up in wheelchairs in the early 90s. Like, not like guys were just trained to like take their legs out and just hit their spines, but like guys would survive these hits and just show up in a wheelchair and paralyzed for the rest of their life, but still banging.
Yo, in all seriousness, isn't that what happened to Lil Chris and Boys in the Hood? Isn't that what happened to him?
That's what I'm saying. Also, like it was common to write that character into an LA show. You know what I'm saying? Because you would see those dudes.
Let's not forget my man Crazy Legs. And
shout out to Crazy Legs.
Shout out to Crazy Legs.
My man had dreams.
I got dreams. Dun, 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 dun. Can't touch this. Oh man. So you got Kane is now paralyzed. The hit didn't work. Meanwhile, the police officer, Sean Little, with a curly fro, apparently has drug issues, like beyond just doing some blow. Now this thing is sticking up people for rock. can't see his kids, is about to be kicked off the force, had to surrender his badge and his gun. I said, this is more consequences for a police officer than I've ever seen in my entire life, in either fiction or real life.
He tried to pull the black car and look to the black homie that had his back. He was just like,
he said, nah, that ain't me, nigga. That's you. You off the rails.
We know you dirty up in this bitch.
He definitely was just like, well, you on your own on this one. So you had that. Let's see what else happened. Louis tells Franklin, I done cut you out. Went straight direct to the plug, and Franklin reveals, which I don't think any of us knew. I knew some of his business was going through Louis and Jerome. He said 90% of his business was to Louis and Jerome. I'm like, well, damn, bro. Like, you didn't think to diversify this shit at all?
Well, you know, he felt like he had control, and he was doing the low end. You know, anytime, and you watch this in TV shows where they're like, we need to expand. Just like in Power, and they're nah, we good as is. You know what I mean? To think that shit gonna last forever. And it's like, nah, like, nigga. Because they always feel like, you know, like the Frank Lucas, you're too flashy, or you're too hot, or you're bringing too much attention to yourself. And Franklin thought he would had it, like, could keep it that way. And they just smartened up, which I don't know if it's smart.
Well, they smartened. Here's how they smartened up, because Franklin fucked up and told them. He told them. When he said, I tried to go get a price break, and the man said he's not going to give me no price break because he's already giving me a price break right now. And so the problem is me selling to y'all. So he basically told them the reason why you can't get a price break is because I'm getting my markup. So they're like, so why am I fucking with the middleman? Why not go right to Teddy? Now, here's a question. You think Teddy messed up by accepting that deal?
Hell yeah.
You think he messed up?
Yeah, because I think the unknowing right now is going to be the scariest part. Like, I think all of them get nabbed, but I also think that, you know, in this situation of Franklin thinking that he got away too, is like, it's too good to be true. You feel me? Like, oh, I'm out the game. Because anytime a nigga be like, oh, I'm out the game, shit just hit the fan. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. First of all, them niggas ain't about to be like, well, have a nice life. You know, that's not how they're going to react to you being out the game. Second of all, the game is a game. Like, and I think part of it is also the delight that I think he gets. Like, he gets a high from this shit, man.
I think Kang going to put the hit. I think the Kang going to put the hit on Franklin, baby mama.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, everything, yeah, she's dead.
She dead. Yeah, she called him a nigga for the first time this episode.
Right. Not my purse, nigga.
Yeah, I was like, oh, okay.
Okay, all right.
Survive a shootout. Now you tough.
Got stripes.
Let me ask y'all this. I feel like I can't be the only one. When Leon goes to Franklin's house and he picks up the book.
Yeah.
Did anybody try to freeze frame it so you could see what the book was? Because I couldn't get a good still.
You know what? I thought about it. I did the Leo and point me to lean up. It point like there's the book that you've been trying to get the answer to, and I still didn't try to write it down.
I couldn't get it.
Is it the spook that sat by the door?
This is from Vulture. No, it says, as Leon storms out, hurt by his friend's selfishness, he notices that the copy of Frantz Fanon's The Wretched of the Earth he gifted him is sitting on a shelf untouched. You ain't even open it. Leon knows as he turns his back on Franklin for good. So let me look up this book.
Franz, so he should have given an autobiography of Malcolm X.
I'm pretty sure this book is going to have some correlation of Franklin's demise.
The Wretched of the Earth. Wretched of the Earth is a 1961 book by psychiatrist Frantz Fanon, in which the author provides a psychological and psychiatric analysis of the dehumanizing effects of colonization upon the individual and the nation, and discusses the broader social, cultural, and political implications of establishing a social movement for the decolonization of a person and of a people. All right. So, and that makes sense.
I wonder how a little boy from Compton got that. I mean,
South Central. But it's about Leon, though. But like,
yeah, like
but,
Leon, bro. Like,
but Leon, like, Leon,
no offense.
Leon, he's on his Dr. Umar now. Like, he's starting to read books and, you know, get interested in, like, you know, the history of colonization and white people, you know, enslaving black people and kind of what black, you know, he's into that shit now. So it's he's woke. This is the woke Leon is at work again.
So he's woke Leon either wants to go to Africa or Europe.
Yeah.
And when he said Europe, I said, oh, I think they realized they fucked up last episode with Africa. So they want to just kind of make it seem like they're just not out here on their fucking belly shit. And they're going to just throw Africa or Europe.
Were you guys surprised by how many people in this episode like had clear memories of what happened when they were high as fuck? And you know,
I mean, I've never done psychedelics, so I can't know like what's the overall effect of it. But yes, they were well endowed. Like I feel like they knew what they were doing, but couldn't control it.
Right.
So,
right. I thought that was a little awkward. I don't know. Yo, y'all remember everything, and here Leon said, yeah, and I meant every word. Like for real. Okay. Franklin's mama, going to tell the KGB dude that like she was high and da da da, like, but like she remembers what she said to him. Even Franklin remembering that he told Teddy on the phone that he was gonna kill him. Like, I was just like, really? Like, I don't know.
Wait, that's what? The KGB? Like,
that's
CIA.
No. He's not
Franklin's
CIA.
Franklin's mama talking to the Spanish dude.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
he's KGB. That's why
KGB.
I thought KGB is Russian.
Yeah, that's why the nigga next to him is Russian. He's talking about in Russia. Oh, you don't have word for Playboy.
Oh, I completely missed that. Wow.
Yeah, man. The motherfucker was looking at Playboy and said, we don't even have a word for Playboy in Russian. Like, all that shit, man. That's who got it. That's the KGB, man. That's who they gotten because they're trying to take out the CIA. Now, he's Cuban. Mm. I think the Spanish dude is Cuban. But it's the same thing. It's like the communists are trying to do their own kind of...
Oh, this is commie time.
Yep. So that's what's happening there. I thought it was a little odd for that. What was the one last thing that happened this episode that I was? Oh, Ari got jumped. They tried.
He might be dead. That was a dead kind of hit.
I don't think that bottle to the head took him out. I think he gonna wake up in a chair tied up with some crazy shit.
Yeah, some shit like that. Yeah, some all shit. Right. Cause they don't give a shit about him. He's just an arms dealer. But they're trying to get information. Cause who they really want is Teddy.
Yeah.
All right. Let's wrap things up with the Power season finale. Trey, do you have notes on this or should I just go right to my main question?
No, I got it. So, Oh man, this was a ride, not gonna lie. But I actually enjoyed the last two episodes of this. I'm not gonna say. But
you enjoyed this episode?
I did. It was because I mean it gave a lot of answers, but then it was also just like a weak finale of Colt. Like, you know what I mean? Like, oh, I want all of it. You know what I mean? God. Like that part right there was very powerful.
Oh my God. Yeah.
But he's, you guys, you know, all of a sudden, you know, Diamond's upset. He can't shake the feeling that Gennard is double crossed him. And, you know, Reporter Bay is there and he says, come on. And Gennard sends the hit fails. Diamond sees it, kills Cuzzo from Louisiana, tortures him first.
Now, hold on. If he drove off with her, how did he find the nigga later?
I mean, it's
that power. Was some power. That was power. We're giving power. Too much credit to it. So in his soap opera fashion,
you know, you'll ask how he got Cuzzo in the house and why he didn't just stay in the house to kill Gennard.
I don't think he ever wanted to kill Gennard.
Yeah, he didn't want to kill
him. That
was
the thing that Tommy kept hitting on. Like when you kill your brother, it's different. You know what I mean? Like you just turn into a different person. He kept
warning. By the way, how does Tommy know that? Because he killed Ghost.
Well, he didn't kill Ghost, but he just trying to explain it. He felt like he was the expert of it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But then we got the four horsemen getting their ass chipped. The biggest week.
Real
they was
easy.
Overrated. They was overrated.
Super
first
overrated,
of all,
man.
The first
soon
one
as she
out
walked
to,
out back, I said, come on.
You know he out of there. And I knew it was Tommy. I'm like, oh, Tommy about to be over here on his 007 Punisher shit. Right? They get him, hang him up like a pig.
He came up. By the way, he came up. the back, he just rose up the shadows like.
He looked like the Michael Jackson meme where it just shows like some of the face. Yeah. He just popped up. So of course that's easy kill, and then obviously the setup where she tries to get him to meet at the lab. Easy. Like my man was in here, just he had it laid out for him, and then we all, I think it was kind of like put on a platter after Scarface Ileana basically gave Doc this whole speech about this is it, like you gotta go, like before something happens. Like I knew she was about to get chipped.
Why didn't Doc just leave right then and there?
She tried to. Dumb. I mean, she still has. No, she's dumb too, though. But she also was a dumb character. You know what I mean? Like yeah, she's about to go to Paris right after.
She ordered Uber Black and then this figure out that like, yo.
She had her Louis. She had her Louis luggage. She was over.
Dope crib, by the way.
By the way, did the Uber say it was here? Because then the Uber would have saw. Like a lot going on in that scene.
It was a lot going on, right? So got her, whatever, cool. Yeah, she was just hilarious. She didn't check the app, nothing. Then I was over the son, Flanagan.
Oh man. Oh, Vic.
Vic whined the whole episode. I get it. Gloria, glow's gone, cool. But he was whining. This is my kill, Dad. It's my kill. Or let me have him. I want to see Tommy. I want to be the last person he sees. You lied to me, Dad. Like he almost say. Like, then when he got into it with his sister, I almost was killed tonight.
Oh my God! She said, "At least I didn't get hit when I was crying in a bottle." I was like, "Yo, ruthless."
Hey, she funny too. They had her with the slick back. I was crying. She had the Mr. Perfect hair. Like yes. She pulled up too. She was on her little mission. She tried to do her little back end. So I don't even know. Did her word trickle all the way to Dublin? Or did it die with old boy?
It had to. Old boy's the only one that knows.
But no, they were like when they put the picture up, they was like, it's just us now. And like I'm the Dahlia Connect.
Yeah.
So I'm sure he probably made a call before he died or whatever, but like.
Well, she's a Dahlia Connect for anybody anywhere because.
Yeah.
Because Tommy's out. And, Ileana's dead and fucking JP, who knows what's going to happen with that. I had a question. So you guys remember when we used to have Kev the Barber on? He used to say, like, there's a difference between light skin and beige, right? Where light skin are black people, black parents, but you light skin, and beige is like you got a white parent, right? Do I have that right? Was that his definition?
I think
so. By that definition, is D-Mac light skin or is he beige?
You mean
Kate not his mom? That's what that is.
I know. Well, Kate's not his mom. Kate's his grandmom.
But he
Kate is Tommy's mom, which is his mom.
No, yeah, D-Mac. I'm talking about
D-Mac. Mom, I apologize. Done. Sorry.
I don't know what the mom looks like, but I'm going to say.
Mom's got to be black.
He just got white in him.
Wait, how does he have. So he switched sides later on, I'm assuming then? Because he's gay.
Yeah, again, power.
Like it happens because my uncle did that too.
Okay.
It happens.
My uncle got a 37-year-old and. He's playing away games now.
No,
so.
It's like LZ. LZ has like a 22-year-old son, and LZ's gay. I'm not saying it doesn't happen. I'm saying they made that nigga gay just for the story, and that's it. Like just to be cool, yeah. And it doesn't factor in ever again. Like it was just one time he revealed, "I'm gay." Okay, and
like 50 is in the writer room. Like make that nigga gay.
Make that nigga gay. Yeah.
Wait. Do we have any? All right. He gonna be. You cool with that? You don't have to do no sex scenes, but you cool.
Yeah, you ain't got to kiss nobody. Like I'll be gay, but I ain't nobody, gonna kiss nobody. Nigga. All right, cool.
I'm gonna just look like the creepy black nigga on this show.
He is creepy looking, and them glasses fucking are creepy. Fucking weird, man.
He looks like Main Man from fuck. What's that show?
He like the nigga from All About the Benjamins. You'll never find blum 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 a hairline like mine.
Oh my God, what is that show? Better Call Saul, but the other one. He looks like Gus.
You talking about bugging out? He talking about bugging out from Do the Right Thing.
Yes. He looks just like you.
Who's Spanish? But he black.
What's Gustavo from Breaking Bad. Yeah. Nah, I'm not good at this game, but he looks like him. I you know.
I never watched Breaking Bad, so I don't know. But yeah, man, like
I only watched like 4 episodes of it. I got to get into it. I heard
it's cool.
All right, so let me ask you guys a question, man, about this end scene where they meet at the fucking gravel pit or whatever. How is the plan? Yo, I'm gonna drag you out and pretend like I caught you and hold my gun to you, and they're not gonna light both of our asses up just on sight. 1, 2, when the fucking flip happens, these niggas are literally all lined up with machine guns and shotties and whatever. And it's the two of y'all with handguns and out in the open, just be like, I got, and like not get fucking lit the fuck up.
I at least wanted Tommy to get shot one time, bro. Just get wounded.
Yeah, get shredded.
But wounded. I'm mad. I'm mad that it was only one CBI soldier there. It was like, y'all split up.
Yeah.
Y'all split up. And he the only one that's in there tripping.
It was a couple of others because when Liliana came from the back, she shot up the people behind it. It was some niggas first.
Yeah, that's true.
She was chipping shit.
You know what's funny? She was chipping shit. Listen, she went out like a soldier. Out of all the niggas, she probably
she was actually kind of stupid, bro. She could have just laid everybody out with the machine gun and called it a day. I don't understand why she was like,
because
like, yo, they're all in the line. Just
I mean, but to be fair, you had to, you know, in movie fashion, you had to make sure JP is actually.
Dog, she slammed her car door shut. Nobody winced. Like, nobody like
not a even. Soul said.
Yeah. Wait, what was that sound? And then she shot like 5 niggas before someone said, "There's a shooter back there." Like, yes, nigga, that's what them gunshots are.
She doesn't just shoot 5 regular people. She shoots 5 of apparently Ireland's like top henchmen, and the one and kills all of them. But the one person who's only got 2 kills in her entire life, and they've all been civilians, is the one that takes her out.
Because you know they had to fit in the storyline. Whoever killed her is going to pay. And then she's like, Tommy, da 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 da. He's like,
oh my god.
Wait, is that going to be the storyline? You feel like?
Yes.
Oh man.
Also, by the way,
and now she's ruthless.
Diamond, you're going to let your brother live. I get it. Okay. Because you're not that type of nigga no more. You're a nigga with a conscience or whatever. You're going to split the territory. Again, I get it. It's kind of sounds crazy. You should have just told him, leave town. No, don't let me never see you again.
Go to Gary, nigga.
But no, yeah, like go to Gary or wherever else. But no, he going to give him half the territory. But then, based on that conversation to end with the map, you going to give him the best territory, nigga?
Like, yeah, at least keep the barbershop.
You know what I'm saying? It ain't much, but it's all my like. I'm like, what the hell kind of talk is that about, man?
I thought he would have kept the barbershop, bro. Like that's his passion, his craft. All the money's there.
Nah, but it was
like, money.
It was too much going on there, bro. Like he was running up in that shit too much. Now he get the restart, put his little chair, you know, whatever. Whatever happened to the evil cop, bruh.
Oh yeah, my man with the Seamus or whatever his name is with the Irish.
Yeah, I hate him, bro. I hate his face. But
he got his 20 large or 150 large. It was like, yo, right. I'm fucking
out of my story. Yeah.
Hey, you know what's crazy? I thought Kate was gonna disappear and slide after she had to watch D-Mac.
Oh yeah, that she's still
she tried.
She definitely was ready to dip.
She's terrible, by the way.
She's an awful mom. She's an awful mom.
She might be up there with the mother from Blow.
Oh damn, no. She sold her baby out, man. No. Kate won't sell Tommy out. She ain't gonna sell Tommy out. She gonna leech him for all the money he's got and hit him up for free Blow, but she's not gonna turn him in or nothing like that.
By the way, real fast, I thought like people of Tommy's stature, they don't walk around with knots in their pocket because that's incriminating, you know what I mean? Blah blah blah. Tommy always seems to just have a wad of money just in his pocket, just ready to just disperse to someone to just be like, here, get away from me.
That nigga be pitching that shit like it's a nickel. He'd be like,
yo. Well, so what was the end of the episode about where we see Detective Blanca Rodriguez come back with her fake Spanish voice?
Oh. As Jerv said, power is one big universe. Yeah. They now have, before when they actually finally open up this envelope and sees Tommy Pitcher, they're going to identify and then come to Chicago. And now he's going to have a bigger problem when he's allegedly posted to, because it's not going to come that easy, even though he did shake up this mass. Like he spent the whole season wiping away everybody, like fucking up everybody's shit. Now, all of a sudden, it's going to come a little bit easy because he conquered Chicago way too easy, first of all. But now, in order for him to make it sweet, here come the people. So now he's going to be, you know, ducking and dodging.
Oh, by the way.
And he the real ghost.
Yeah.
Oh, he canceled Christmas. Did y'all catch that?
Yes, he definitely canceled Christmas on their asses.
Yeah.
But, yo, sir, memory serves me correctly. She was at the end of Power Ghost, the Tariq one, whatever the
she was.
I felt she's supposed to be going after Tariq, but
I'm gonna be on Chicago.
She's gonna be on all the shows as a super agent. We got another. We got a super cop.
Just to point out, guys, the way Liliana talks, that's an authentic accent. The way Detective Rodriguez talks like that, I'm like, this is terrible.
She talked like she's trying to snorkel.
Yes, exactly. That's a great way to put it. Like she's trying to snorkel. All right. On that note, we call it a day here on Black Opinions Matter, motherfucker. Thanks again for the listeners, for the Patreons. If you're not a Patreon, patreon.com/countthedings. Make sure you are catching these overflows. We got another one coming tomorrow. We're going to talk about the latest episode of Atlanta. Talk about the latest episode of Winning Time. Next week on the main show, we will talk about They Call Me Magic. It comes out Friday on Apple Plus. So be prepared for that, as well as the season finale for Snowfall. For Black Trade, for Big Jer. My name's Amino Hats. Stay black, motherfucker. We'll be right back.